Welcome, everybody, to Till Death Do We Play, a podcast where marriage and video games are the perfect union. My name is Andy, and as always, I'm joined by my wife, Allie.
Hello.
And yeah, we got a pretty good episode for you guys. We got some leaks, we got a new game, but before we get into that, last episode we talked about Xbox's game showcase. So now that we've seen Xbox and PlayStation this year, Allie, what are your thoughts on both?
Both of them were pretty underwhelming. I won't say that all of the games definitely missed the mark. I'm excited for the new Horizon Zero Dawn game. That's what it's called, right? Yes, it is.
Horizon. Yeah, well, yeah, the new one's called Horizon, I think Forbidden West.
Yeah, okay, there we go then. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely excited for Horizon. I'm definitely excited for the Medium, the new Fable game, the Ratchet and Clank. Bleh,
Ratchet,
the
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Crank. I'm definitely excited for the Ratchet and Clank game. But overall, I mean, we only have, like, what, 2 to 3 months before these consoles are supposed to come out, and we still don't know some really important questions. Like, well, some really important information, I should say. Like, price.
And release date. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. It's definitely weird this year. I kind of feel like in the past when developers had a set date that E3 was going on, they kind of maybe felt a little more pressured to get a lot of more information out there. But now that everything's digital, I kind of feel like they're able to control the narrative a little bit more and release information as they want it. But, you know, and I also think that both Microsoft and Sony, they're kind of waiting to see what each other are going to do, which in the end is just holding out information for all of us. Like, it's kind of weird. It's like watching two people argue a little bit where nothing's like getting anywhere, you know? Like,
well, I think they're waiting for, like, kind of what you said, someone to make the first move, because yeah. if Sony comes out and says our PS5 is going to cost $600, well, then Microsoft can turn around and be like, well, our console is going to cost $550. Yeah. Especially after the last gen debacle where the Xbox One cost $100 more because they just had to bundle it with Kinect.
Yeah, it really did. The Xbox One really cost that much more?
Yeah, it was $100.
Oh, wow.
The most obvious reason is price. At debut, the Xbox One was a $500 system compared with $400 for the PS4.
Wow, that's crazy that the PS4 was that cheap.
Yeah.
And I paid, I think I paid $500 for the PS4 Pro. Holy crap.
Yeah, it wasn't that what the Xbox One X was as well, $500?
Yeah, it's just crazy thinking that in one console's life, they sold two different versions of the same console for the same price.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even remember if there was a version without Kinect. I think there was. But I bought the Kinect version because I thought Kinect was just going to be revolutionary, and now it's dead. It's currently sitting in our entertainment stand downstairs, like, wrapped up.
The other thing that the Sony PS4 had at the time of launch was it wasn't just less expensive, but it was also faster than the Xbox One. And it looks like for this generation, the PlayStation is going to continue that trend with their super fast solid state drive. The Xbox Series S is also having a customized SSD. However, Sony's is able to read it theirs twice as fast. Mm-hmm. So I think they might have another edge over the Xbox Series X, even though it looks like, when you see it on paper, the Xbox Series X looks far superior. Like, yeah. Even as someone who absolutely loves Sony, I will admit that. You've got the 12 teraflops versus the 10. You have solid state drives that are basically the same, but literally every single aspect of the Xbox Series X just has bigger and better numbers than the PS5, but I really think that that SSD reading capability might just make it to where it doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, I totally agree where Sony seems to be going more for speed and Xbox is just going for power. But it's going to be interesting to see how things pan out because, like you said, where the Xbox has 12 teraflops and the PlayStation 5 only has a little bit over 10, still that processor reads a little faster than the Xbox. So it's going to be
twice.
Yeah, so it's going to be weird seeing, you know, if having more power reading a little slower or less power reading faster is gonna pan out. My like from looking at it, it just seems like the Xbox is going to be able to produce better looking games, but at a slower rate. So it's a weird trade off to see what people are interested in.
I'm almost wondering if it might be a situation where a small force, as long as it's fighting an imposing enemy through a tight corridor, numbers don't really matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the end, though, like, both of these consoles look super impressive. So there's also the chance that because we're talking about trillions, I'm like, the human mind can't even comprehend that number for the most part. So I'm almost thinking if there is a difference, it's going to be so minute it won't even matter.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, they're also kind of splitting up with, not really splitting up, but they're also kind of partnering with different companies to kind of enhance their consoles in their own way. Like Sony's now partnered with Epic Games, and Microsoft is working with Valve to port a lot of their PC games, and they're actually making a new VR headset. Which I don't think we've heard much about, but it's been a long time, or it's been like, I don't know if I would say it's been a long time coming, but Microsoft has definitely been like at the bottom when it comes to VR. Like, they literally haven't put anything out. They put out HoloLens, but that was kind of like a really weird, HoloLens I don't think is even out. It's like some kind of other Microsoft headset. I don't even know the name of it. Nobody used it. Like, yeah.
For me personally, I can't get into VR because, I can do the ones where you stand still and can just like teleport to random locations and then stand still. But anything, as soon as the character starts moving, it is the first and only time that I've ever had motion sickness in my entire life. And it came sudden and immediate, and I dropped. Aww.
See, I love VR, and I don't like the teleport thing. I love being able to free move. Like, we have PSVR, and when games have you click to teleport, I really hate that. But I played the demo, and the full game's out now for Iron Man VR, where you have full control. I mean, it's all through using your boosters to fly around and stuff, but I think that was really fun. I don't have the same problem with motion sickness, but at the same time, that was, I consider the PSVR to be like an early generation VR headset at this point, and just the setup for that is so tedious. Like, I'm looking for a
cumbersome thing.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing what Xbox is going to develop with Valve. Like, I'm hoping for something wireless, like the Oculus. I think it's the Oculus Go is like fully wireless. But yeah, it would be very nice. It would be very, very cool to just put on a wireless headset and play some Xbox games.
It is, though, very interesting that, like, it's kind of funny because Gabe is for Xbox. I don't know if you saw that interview he did, but when asked the question, you know, hey, head of Valve, which of the consoles do you vouch for? And he was like, oh, Xbox.
Yeah.
All the way. And they're like, oh, yeah? He's like, yeah, I don't have either of them, but if I had to, it'd be Xbox.
Yeah. Which one of these do you like?
If you had to.
Yeah, which one of these do you like? Probably the one that we're working with, you know?
Like, which one of these do you like? Do I look like a casual?
Yeah. It just pulls and out then, like a PC, just like, do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am? I'm the basic god of PC gaming. All hail Gabe. But it is interesting that Sony is working with Epic Games, who is pretty much the only rival, if you really want to even call them that Valve has. I mean, I know there's GOG, but we all know GOG. They are by far great, but everybody uses Valve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always saw GOG just being like a small alternative for DRM-free games and stuff. But yeah.
At least in America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah.
More power to CD Projekt Red.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't like Epic Games. Not anymore.
No. Well, they've been out for what, a year now? Or it's either been a year or it's almost a year. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I just went completely to the store.
No, I was just saying ever since Fortnite. Like, I loved Epic Games in the past. Things like Unreal Tournament and Gears of War, obviously. But ever since they switched over to Fortnite, it's like that's all they care about. I mean, obviously, that's their cash cow. But it's just, oh, my God, it's so annoying.
I think Unreal Engine might be their one technical cash cow. Fortnite, I think, is right now the biggest, but their store, come on, guys, you need to get your act together. They still, I don't think, have provided any real, like, significant updates to their store, so it's still just a broken chunk of crap.
They don't even have a cart in their store. You have to buy every game individually. Not saying I've bought a game from Epic Game Stores, but, like, yeah, if you want multiple games, you have to buy them individually. And they're doing a lot of promotions to try to get the word out there about their store. And I mean, I can't complain about that because we've literally added like 50 new games to our libraries from this because they release a new free game every week. But they also do like sales that are pretty interesting when you think about it. They're like mega sales where they give you like $10 to spend on, or like if you buy something that's $15, they'll give you $10 off, but there's no cart, and a lot of their games are like $7 when they're on sale, so you can't like add two or three games to a cart and use that coupon. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Yeah, like yeah. I just opened it up right now. They have 20XX, which looks like a Mega Man inspired game, and Barney Join the Party, which kind of looks like a D&D game. You might like that. Those are free.
I might get it when it's not on Epic.
I might get it when it's not free and on something else.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just, I didn't mind it. I actually used Epic Game to play Dauntless for a while there, but the main thing that got to me was whenever I would try to verify my email, it would not take. I think I sent that verification code like 30 times, and finally, through some black magic witchcraft, it finally accepted it. So when I then tried to play Dauntless on the Switch, it did it again, and I was like, I can't do this. So then I stopped playing Dauntless.
No.
So besides their partnerships being really different, I think it's also interesting how Sony and Microsoft are going about this next generation for their consoles. It seems like Sony is just really pushing the PS5. Like, they pretty much went out of their way and was like, don't focus on the PlayStation 4 anymore. We're releasing the PlayStation 5 now. That's it.
Yeah, and at the same time, Xbox is, they're saying that they want their games to be backwards compatible, even their peripherals and their accessories and everything. But they completely stopped the production of the Xbox One X and the Xbox S. They're only going to produce Xbox Series X at this point. So they're like, you could play our games on any version of the Xbox that you want, but you're not going to be able to get an Xbox One X anymore. You gotta jump up to the Series X.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, Xbox is definitely trying to seem like the more consumer-friendly approach. I know for Phil Spencer, I actually have a quote here where he had stated, "You won't be forced into the next generation. We want every Xbox player to play all the new games from Xbox Game Studios. Titles we'll release in the next couple of years, like Halo Infinite, will be available and play great on Xbox Series X and Xbox One. We won't force you to upgrade to Xbox Series X at launch to play Xbox exclusives." And the Xbox Game Studios head, Matt Booty, also agreed on that statement. He said, "We want to make sure that if someone invests in Xbox between now and Series X, that they feel that they made a good investment and that we're committed to them with content."
Yeah.
And you know, that's all true. Like, if you already have the Xbox One or the Xbox One S, then theoretically, you should be okay, I'd say, for at least a year. I think a few years is a little generous, but at least, I don't even know about a year, to be honest. Maybe only, like, 6 months or so. But you'll still be able to play the games. When it comes down to it, though, that seems... That doesn't seem like a good idea to me.
Yeah.
I feel like that is going to hold back the developers who are creating games for Xbox, because the Xbox Series X is so much more powerful than the Xbox One that I think it's going to run into the issue that they had when the Xbox One was coming out and game developers were being told to develop games that can run on the Xbox 360 and PS3, as well as the Xbox One and PS4, because there was that huge market belief that consoles were dying and phones were the future.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was reading the book, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, one of the games that is mentioned in there is Dragon Age Inquisition, and how they had to cut a lot of stuff in order to be playable on the Xbox 360 and the PS3. But when it released, only 10% of their actual sales were from the Xbox 360 and PS3. I completely forgot that it even came out on those consoles.
Yeah.
But they had to dumb it down so much that I think it kind of hurt it in a way.
Oh, yeah, and definitely.
But I'm really concerned, like, games like Halo Infinite, where even for its showcasing, people weren't impressed by its graphics. And then I think you said later on it was revealed that they didn't even fully implement the Xbox Series X ray tracing into it yet.
Well, no, it wasn't about that. It was 343 actually came out and made a statement after all the criticism saying about the art style. Like, they wanted to switch the art style back to match kind of like the original trilogy, and kind of steer away from 4 and 5. As far as the actual graphics, they completely owned up to that, and they said, you know, this is still an early game, and fans brought criticisms to our attention that we didn't see before, and they're definitely going to take steps in order to correct that. So, I mean, the game is a couple months out, so hopefully there will be a little more polish on it. But yeah, going back to what you said, I definitely feel like developers for Xbox are kind of in a pickle right now, because they have to develop their games to play and run smooth, maybe not look as good on the current gen consoles, but... You know, I feel like they're definitely going to be held back for a couple years. Like, I feel like when Fable eventually comes out, I don't think that... I feel like Xbox is going to switch over by that point to being like, this game is obviously optimized for the Xbox Series X, but I'm not even sure if, like, games in 2 years from now or so will even be able to be played on the older systems. So I feel like we're a couple years out to seeing the games that are solely developed for the Series X.
That also brings up the thing where we had spoken earlier about how the Xbox Series X may look better despite taking a little longer to load. But if developers are being forced to work on both generations of consoles, maybe they won't even look better at first.
Yeah. I even, thinking back now, like, there was a lot of games at the dawn of the Xbox One generation that were made for both consoles, an Assassin's Creed, I think it was, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. There was a jump, because I remember I didn't get an Xbox One immediately, so I bought Black Flag on the 360 and I played through it, and then I actually played through it again on the Xbox One. It did look better. It was minimal, though. Like, it was, you know, so I definitely think something like that was held back, you know. Yeah.
In Sony's philosophy, we actually also have a quote from Jim Ryan, who is the president and CEO of Sony's PlayStation division, where to enforce Sony's ideology of new console, make your games for it, he said, We believe that when you go to all the trouble of creating a next-gen console, that it should include features and benefits that the previous generation does not include. In our view, people should make games that can make the most of those features, whether it's the DualSense controller, whether it's the 3D audio, whether it's the multiple ways that the SSD can be used. We are thinking that it is time to give the PlayStation community something new, something different, that can really only be enjoyed on PS5. And I think their showcase also showed that. I don't think they showed a game that was really going to be coming to PS4, or if they were very, very few.
Yeah. Well, to that, I don't necessarily agree with all of that, because it's like with a new generation of consoles, I feel like they shouldn't just dismiss everything that the older consoles did. I feel like a new generation of consoles should take everything about an existing console and build on it. Like, backwards compatibility is a huge thing for Xbox. And that originally wasn't even a feature of the Xbox One. That was something that they later on implemented. But it seems like Xbox is taking everything great about the Xbox One X and building upon it and making it better. I feel like it's just a smarter move to just keep everything that makes something great and add to it, rather than completely isolating yourself from a previous version of it.
Well, I don't think they're necessarily isolating themselves. I think what Sony is trying to say is don't look to the past. Like, don't let the past hold you from obtaining something that you know can be greater if you focus on the future.
Yeah, I kind of see it. I just don't know how much it'll hold. I think
it's one of those things where Microsoft is definitely appearing to be pro-consumer. They're saying, hey, listen, you already spent money on this. We don't want you to waste money. You're still going to be able to enjoy these games for a while longer. On Sony's end, they're thinking of it more as, our exclusives are phenomenal, and we are not going to stop our studios from continuing to make phenomenal games. And it's true. The Last of Us Part 2, Ghosts of Tsushima, Spider-Man, Days Gone was aight. I think it didn't get, you know, as much credit as
I think could have. Yeah, I think it was technically impressive with the hordes and everything, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, Sony knows how to get their studios to make phenomenal, memorable games.
That's absolutely true. I honestly think that in the beginning part of this next generation, I'm probably going to be spending it playing the Sony exclusives that I didn't get to in this generation. Like, after I finish up Ghost of Tsushima, I'm probably going to play Horizon and then work my way through the Uncharted trilogy. Not even trilogy anymore, all four games. But yeah,
definitely. Horizon's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be getting a lot of use out of my PlayStation 4. But yeah, if the PS5 isn't backwards compatible with the PS4, I'm definitely not going to have any use to upgrade to it for a while, because I still have so many games that I could play on the PS4.
I think they said it would be backwards compatible.
Oh, fantastic. It's going to be a day one buy then. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, the PS4 games will be playable on the PS5.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah, that kind of makes it more interesting. Hopefully it's not $600, but...
Well...
Yeah, that's kind of a... that's the closest thing that we have to a... like an estimate, right? Someone said that it's estimated to be between $500 and $600, so hopefully it's on the lower end of that.
Some people are saying there's no way it'll cost more than $500. Other yeah. people are saying it'll be $500 to $600. Mm-hmm. Personally, what I'm thinking, because we right now know for a fact there's going to be two versions of the PS5, the one where it's digital only and the one where you can have both. I think the digital only might be $500 and the disc portion might be $600. That's kind of going to be my guess. I'm really hoping I'm wrong. Yeah. If I'm wrong, I'll be so happy if people tell me that I'm wrong. but I'm really thinking that's how it's going to end up being.
Well, that's where people came up with these estimations, is because they actually took the specs and built the thing. And that's where they're getting it. I mean, in a best case scenario for me, I would really hope that the digital version is like $399, but I don't see that happening at all.
I don't either.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. But this all just comes back to the consoles are 2 or 3 months out estimating, because we don't really know a release date and we have no idea what to expect or how much to, you know, put away for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't even begin to guess what the Xbox Series X will cost.
Honestly, thinking about it now, like with the state of the world and everything, holding out this long to tell people what a console is going to cost is really hindering your day one sales or your first month sales, because, you know, like 6 months out or, you know, say even to June and the console comes out in November, that's 5 months. If the price was announced at a regular E3 in June, people have 5 months to go, okay, I have to put $500 aside so I can get this console. Doing that in the middle of a pandemic, when the console's probably going to release 2 months after they give the release date, that's going to be really hard thinking about,
you know,
thinking
about
that aspect. Huh.
I actually think that the pandemic is the reason for why we haven't gotten a release date yet, because I think they were initially going to price it much higher than what people are assuming it is now.
Hmm.
And I think that's why they're waiting for the other company to drop the news first to see if they're going to lower their price, all things considered.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so late in the game and we still don't have a price.
Hmm.
Because these are effectively... consoles have always been computers, but these ones, I know for the PS5, people were saying, oh, with its SSD, this is going to be something that computers are going to strive to do, and all that other such stuff. And gaming computers are incredibly expensive. I'm thinking this was going to be the consoles where they were going to up the price even more to, like, low-end, not even, yeah, fairly low-end to mid-range gaming computer pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot higher than what anyone is really willing to dish out.
Yeah, currently, right now, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know something weird now that we're just talking about both these consoles? I'm looking at my Xbox and my PlayStation, and something weird that I noticed about them is that, so I have a micro USB cable plugged into my Xbox One, and I use it to, like, charge my Xbox One controller and things like that, or not charge it, but if it runs out of batteries, I'll plug it in. So I was playing on my PlayStation 4 and the batteries got low, so I plugged it in. I plugged the, micro USB into my PS4 controller and it didn't charge. And the Xbox One, you could charge something while the console's turned off because it's on a power source. But for some reason, just the PlayStation 4 controller does not charge through the Xbox One. So I kind of feel like the developers of the hardware of the PS4, like, made it so that if you plug it into an Xbox One, you won't be able to get any power. I just feel like it's some kind of
spiteful.
I really think it's some kind of spite thing, because it's just the weirdest. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah, that was just a funny, like, side thing I noticed while we were talking about it. But yeah, we don't know too much. I mean, we have the specs, but all the important stuff that people in today's climate need to know, we just don't have. So hopefully...
pricing, please.
Yeah. So Phil Spencer also did mention something about Xbox. I can't remember the exact quote, but he said that they'll have more information on a specific topic in August. So I feel like they might have another little mini announcement. Hopefully the information will come out this month. He basically said we'll have more to talk about in August. So
I think the only thing people care to know about at this point is what's the freaking price.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully that's what we find out this month, so yeah. People could start to prepare a little bit. But yeah, moving on to the other big company that's not really entangled in the console war. That's the thing I like about Nintendo, is that they've distanced themselves from the whole console war because they do their own thing.
It's kind of like they're there. So when you always have that one person where whenever console wars gets brought up and it's like, are you PlayStation or are you Xbox? You always have that one kid who wanders in and goes like, I'm for Nintendo. And it's like, hey. Nintendo doesn't count. They released their console at a completely different time. Their consoles are always so widely different. You can't compare them. It's apples to oranges.
Yeah, the Switch released on March 3rd, a spring. I don't even know if March is technically considered spring, but like consoles always released during holiday. And Nintendo's like, nah, dog, just March. We'll just throw it out there.
They do whatever they want.
They wanted it. I remember they wanted it out there before the fiscal year ended. I remember that. Yeah. But yeah, speaking of Nintendo, they've recently underwent the biggest data breach in the company's history. Not a data breach that affects users, like what happened a couple of weeks ago, where like millions of people had their Switch accounts hacked. My coworker actually told me this week that he had his Switch account hacked and someone spent $250 on V-Bucks for Fortnite. And he was like,
oh my God, do I need to check my Nintendo console?
I don't know. I mean, I changed my password. I think people were contacted saying that it's likely that they were involved in the breach. I don't know.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. That's old news as well. If your bank account's not dropping, you're fine, Allie. But
now I'm scared. I always spend so much money, I might not even have noticed it.
Oh, God.
Thanks for telling me now, Andy. Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny. He was like, of all the things they could have bought on the Switch, they bought V-Bucks. And I was like, frickin' V-Bucks. But V-Bucks is the Fortnite currency to buy microtransaction games and crap. Or skins. But
That's disgusting.
Yeah. But basically, this leak, which has been deemed the Giga Leak, like Giga Bowser. It's a little cute tie-in. it came in the form of a file that was just about 2 gigabytes. It contained a huge amount of information from a ton of different games, a lot of early games like around like Super Nintendo and Game Boy Color and Advanced era, a lot of 64 games too, stuff that's like 20 years old at this point. But yeah, there was a lot of development repositories. So basically what a development repository is, for people who are listening, is it's essentially a folder that contained all of the files that are used for development. It could be like source codes, developer notes, sprites, different assets, things like that, music files. There was a repository for a DS emulator, a full repository for Diamond and Pearl Pokemon. So like people like it's crazy. They have the source code for these games. And I mean, people were already creating like hacked versions of these games, but now they have a full version of Diamond and Pearl. There were personal logs from a developer of Diamond and Pearl. Also included was a master ROM database, so for the Famicom and the NES. So a master ROM database is every ROM for this game, and a ROM is essentially a digital version of a game. People who are familiar with emulators on computers, you use ROMs to play them. Every game for the Famicom and the NES, which the Famicom is basically the Japanese version of the NES, the original NES. There was a master ROM of Super Mario RPG. There was prototypes for Super Mario World 2. Super Mario World 2 eventually turned into Yoshi's Island, but I believe that they had some different ideas for it. Full source codes. We'll just go down this list. Full source codes for Star Fox, Star Fox 2, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening DX, Wild Tracks, Yoshi's Island, Mario Kart, F-Zero, Zelda A Link to the Past, Super Mario All-Stars, and a Game Boy emulator for the Wii Virtual Console, which I don't believe ever got released. So a ton of information got released from Nintendo. People are just running wild with all these source codes. That's a little niche corner of the internet. People love taking these source codes and digging through them and making their own adjustments to the games. That, Allie, is, I believe, how mods are created.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
I do know that for Star Fox, apparently there used to be a human woman that was going to be a character on Star Fox's team, and the internet went crazy about her because she has awesome hair.
No, really?
Yeah.
But probably the biggest thing, though, that got released in this leak was the idea for a Pokemon MMO. So as soon as like people were able to quickly connect to the internet, like Xbox Live was a thing, people, and not even Xbox Live, but like before that, when Pokemon came out, people wanted to play it online. They wanted a Pokemon MMO. And the leak showed that this idea came up in 2004, 16 years ago. Nintendo was going to work with a company named IQ to help develop it. The leak showed that it took place in the Fire Red and Leaf Green world, so I'm not sure if it would be Kanto or like a different area of the world with like just that generation of Pokemon. It even outlined an offline mode, an online mode. Offline apparently was only going to limit you to about 30 Pokemon, but the online mode was going to have a lot more. What was interesting about this was that they had plans to release more Pokemon online through special events. So the roster would continue to grow. And this was back in 2004. And Nintendo actually went ahead with this idea. I mean, even as far as like the late 3DS games, where you could go into GameStop and get a card and add a new Pokemon to your game through like a special event. Or now on our phones with Pokemon Go or Sword and Shield with expansions, you know, they're adding more and more Pokemon to the game. So I think it's pretty cool that like they eventually got to that point, but they had this idea 16 years ago. It was just is mind blowing to me.
I think Nintendo has always been really good about looking to the future with their consoles and their games. And that's really what helps them stand out from the other two companies, because it's always just doing its own thing, but it's always incredibly forward thinking and seeing what's like the next big thing on the horizon before anyone else is even aware of it.
Yeah. I mean, look at the Wii. That came out in 2006. They were obviously developing it for years beforehand, but that kicked off the little motion control craze. After that, we got PlayStation Move and Kinect. Obviously, it died out. The Wii U tried doing it a little bit. I mean, the Switch still does it in the Wii U with like the gyroscope and stuff. But as far as motion controls, Nintendo, that launched Nintendo, like not really launched it, but that was such a huge win for Nintendo, just because they, like you said, they were very forward thinking.
I think it just helped solidify the fact that Nintendo will pretty much always be a powerhouse.
Yeah, like a powerhouse in their own right. That's why I say like I don't really ever consider them as part of the console war, just because they're on top of it, and they're on top of their own issues, and they're focusing on their own stuff.
I think for the most part, Nintendo is the one where it is the family console.
Yeah.
You might have a family that might have a PlayStation or a Xbox, but it's a pretty good guarantee that if there are kids, there's a Nintendo somewhere, whether it's the Switch or a Wii or something else. Like, even in my family, a lot of them don't play video games. They all had something Nintendo related, just because it's so easy to access in your youth. And then you just have these memories growing up with it, that even if you do go on to one of the other consoles, you still remember Nintendo.
All the dads out there who don't know anything about video games, they'll still say, you know, well, you're playing that Nintendo, even though you're on a PlayStation, you know?
Well, that was a thing. They had to do a public announcement stating, hey, just so you're aware, it's not a Nintendo. There is only the Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Everything else is a video game console. Do not refer to everything as Nintendo, because that's what was happening for a while back in the, what was it?
Probably the 90s.
80s, 90s, somewhere around there, where everybody just knew it.
Yeah.
But they didn't really know what it was.
Yeah. Something similar to that happened to me when I was a kid, and nobody believes me. You know, when you're a kid and it says, get your parents' permission to go to this website. Well, I was like 5 or 6, and I wanted my mom to help me. Also, I probably couldn't type at the time. And I wanted my mom to help me get to Pokemon's website. So I was like, Mom, could you help me get to the Pokemon website? And she typed in Pokemon.com. And a webpage came up that said, you have, I'm sorry, this is not the site you're looking for. You meant Pokemon instead of Pokemon. And it went on to say, like, Pokemon is, like, one of the tops, like, I don't know, top selling, but it was, like, one of the most popular, like, kids franchise, something like that. It had some kind of crazy wording, but my mom was reading it off to me, and I was like, Mom, the computer's telling you, like, you messed up. And, like, I just remember that, and nobody believes me. They're like, why would a website say that? That sounds stupid, but I totally remember it. It was very weird.
Pokemon.com.
Oh, what happens if you do that in 2020?
It takes you to Pokemon.
Really? They bought the domain? Yeah, it does.
They literally, you put in Pokemon.com, and yeah, it brings you directly to Pokemon. And you know what? I 100% believe that that is definitely something Nintendo did. I bet they knew that the United States audience, because we always say man, could definitely have gotten it confused. And they said, hey, listen, this is actually what you're looking for. This is what it's about. You meant to go here.
I wonder what happens if you type in Digimon.com. Digimon.com is for sale for $6,899.
Oh, geez. Yeah, no thanks.
Nintendo should just scoop that up and have it redirect to Pokemon, too.
Can you imagine? What's $7,000 to Nintendo?
Honestly. Yeah, going back to this leak, just a couple more things that, a couple little interesting more tidbits that came out from this. Apparently for Super Mario 64, there was originally going to be a playable version of Luigi. So in the source code, not really source code, but just images came out of Luigi with no face, but you could tell that they were actually working for him. They also had some test rooms for Mario 64, some unused sprites for earlier Pokemon games. They had a prototype of Yoshi's Island, which eventually, like, Super Mario World 2 is considered Yoshi's Island. They just had a prototype for it that used music that was very, like ripped straight from Super Mario World. Anyone who's familiar with the music in the Mario games, it had a different map and different interface. They had this game called Super Donkey, which they were working on. It never came out. I figured it was eventually going to turn into, like, Super Donkey Kong, which probably got scrapped for Donkey Kong Country. The prototype for it just looks like you're, like, some kind of Mickey Mouse thug-looking guy, weird thing, walking around with, like, no face. Like, he kind of looks like a mixture between, like, Mickey Mouse, Marvin the Martian, and, I don't know, like a weird nerd. And he's just, like, walking around.
Sounds
like a
horrifying kind of
guy. Yeah, it looked really bad. But yeah, it was pretty cool to see, like, that they had, like, a playable version of that. But probably one of the biggest takeaways from this is that they had uncompressed audio for Super Mario 64, Star Fox 64, and F-Zero X. Now, there is a meme from Super Mario 64, and I'm not saying any, like, I'm not trying to be, I don't know how I should say this.
What are you trying to say?
There's this meme where when Mario throws Bowser, he goes, so long, gay Bowser. But he's like, so long, ga Bowser. But the way he says it sounds, he's saying, so long, gay Bowser. And it was always compressed. So now it's, like, uncompressed. And there's a tweet with, like, over 100,000 likes. And they're like, it's finally here. We have the uncompressed so long gay Bowser. And it's just, like, crisp, clean, Charles Martinet, the guy who did the voice of Mario. And he's like, so long, gay Bowser. And, like, people are, like, losing their minds over it, that they actually have this uncompressed audio.
So he actually says, so long, gay Bowser.
Yeah. And I mean, this is just, I'm just reporting the news here, guys, you know. Not trying to be an un-PC or anything, but, like, you know.
Hey.
Yeah.
We're all for LGBTQIA+.
Yeah, it's just a funny little moment in time that has been preserved and now enhanced through this Nintendo leak. But, yeah.
Different time, different culture. Also, I remember seeing that apparently there were images of Link with blood on him, and that was apparently newsworthy.
What? That's awesome. Yeah. Link has never had blood on him.
Well, it's supposed to be a family game.
People are worried that this leak is going to hurt Nintendo in some way, but I really don't see how. I mean, everything that got leaked is for software that's, you know, completely outdated. Not only games, but like the emulators for the DS and the Famicom and everything like that. People are saying online, like, this is going to hurt Nintendo. All it's going to do is I'm sure they'll be able to track where the leaks came from. They'll be able to patch it up and make sure that it doesn't happen in the future. Like,
well, I think more specifically, this isn't just like random people saying that this is going to hurt Nintendo. There's actually a quote from Digital Eclipse developer Mike Mica tweeting, "This Nintendo leak is bad on so many levels. It hurts them, it hurts fans, and it turns the topic of preservation into a topic of security and tightening the grip on intellectual property, regardless of its historical or educational value to history."
Yeah, but like, I don't know. This is something that I don't think Nintendo was ever going to release, but I think that now that it's out here and like people are able to see these files and everything like that, I just don't think it, I don't see how it hurts them, you know?
It might be like a cultural thing. On one hand, I think I don't really see how it's going to hurt fans, but I think it might loosen their trust. And it's like, well, if you weren't even able to hold on to stuff that's your own intellectual property, how can I trust you with my information? Especially considering you just mentioned they had a massive data breach with
that's an interesting passwords. Point that I didn't think about. Yeah.
Wow. It might hurt them in regards to other companies saying, well, now what can we trust you with if you're having these leaks happen? Like, how can we give you our information and hope that you don't have someone at your company just throw it all out there before we're able to announce anything?
See, that makes a lot of sense because, like, I didn't even think of it from a trust standpoint. I was thinking more so like production and financial and stuff like that. I mean, I guess when it comes down to trust, it definitely could affect financials in the future.
It's very hard to give someone. Interesting. Yeah, it's very hard to give someone your money to begin with. Here, let me put it this way, actually. We give money to Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, at least you and I do, all the time. And it's usually like, what, $20 to $60 a pop?
Yeah.
Now, that's whatever, we're getting, you know, a game out of it or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, say we're giving Nintendo like $5 million. And we just find out that they had a breach of information come out from their studio that is massive, and it has personal dev files, it has old artwork, it has uncompressed files, it has everything. I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna be a little hesitant to give them this $5 million unless it's in cash, which is super hard,
yeah,
or something that is not immediately linked to my bank account, which is also super hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that totally makes sense. So, yeah, that's pretty crazy. My view on this has completely changed over the course of this discussion. Best of luck to Nintendo in this troubling time.
I think in the end, though, they'll be able to recover. They've been around for, God, I don't think Nintendo will ever die, to be honest.
No, they've been around since the 1800s.
Yeah, they've got so much going on. I think it's definitely something where they are without a doubt going to tighten their security something fierce.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with how protective they naturally are and very hush-hush. But yeah, I don't think it's going to have like huge sweeping damage that they'll never recover from.
No, yeah.
I mean, it happens. Look at Sony with their massive data breach, too. Yeah. People still buy Sony stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stuff gets breached all the time.
Unfortunately.
It's the world we live in. But yeah, enough for all this crazy news. Let's talk about some of the games we've been playing this week.
So, hooray!
Yeah, let's have you kick it off, Allie.
Oh my goodness, what have I been playing? Well, I beat Ghost of Tsushima.
You beat it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Crap.
I beat Ghost of Tsushima. I was playing...
That's why. That's why you got annoyed when I said I didn't want to do a spoiler cast yet. I didn't know you beat it. I was like, I was like, well, we can't really do a spoiler cast if we both haven't beaten it. And you were like, both, huh?
It's like, oh, you're just holding me down at this point.
Sorry, I'm still in Act 2. I'm taking my sweet time.
I am also going to give Gears of War another shot.
Gears of War, like the first one?
No, I have downloaded Gears of War 4 and 5 through my PC Game Pass so I can get some more sweet achievements.
Yeah. Cool. We also played Grounded this week. We tried it out.
Yeah, screw spiders.
Yeah. I don't know if it plays any different on the console compared to PC, but we played on PC and it ran okay, but there was definitely some like clipping issues and like when you're trying to build, things were like freaking out a little bit. It's an early development game. It's in game preview, but it's definitely fun. It's definitely very, very interesting.
Graphics are beautiful.
Yeah, for a little game like that, definitely. It's really cool. It's really cool to see things like, I don't know, it's going to sound weird, but like from that perspective, like you're a little shrunk kid, you know, everything's gigantic. You go up to a ladybug and it's bigger than you. Very, very cool. Yeah, looking forward to playing more of that. But have you played anything else?
No, not really. No. We are actually building a website right now, so that's taken up a lot of my time.
Yeah. I don't want to say too much right now, but we have a lot of ideas that we want to take further than the podcast. I mean, obviously the podcast is always going to be the center point, but yeah, we have a lot of stuff that we want to do. So yeah, and it's looking good so far. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, boss. So yes, you can listen to us on Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts as well. Wherever you pretty much would standardly listen to your podcast, you can probably check us out there. Leave a rating, leave a comment, subscribe. That's always great. We have a pretty good sized following on Facebook. Andy, would you like to take it from there as to all of our handles?
Yeah, it just, I guess it doesn't matter what I'm playing this week.
Oh, you're right.
Now I got a sense of that. No, it's just playing.
You said you were playing Tsushima and Grounded. I thought that was it.
Just playing some video games and stuff, whatever. Follow us on Twitter. I'm playing Tsushima. I played Grounded. I played some golf with your friends because it's on PC Game Pass. I played The Tourist for the second time because I originally played it on the Switch, but now I'm starting on PC Game Pass for those achievements. Stop playing Story of Seasons because it was a huge waste of money. It's very, very boring. And that's it. We're going to go into our social medias now.
You're going to hold this against me, aren't you?
No, it's fine.
Do I need to get Greg?
It's fine. No, Greg. Twitter, TDDWP Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and Twitch. We haven't started streaming on Twitch yet, but we plan on streaming on Twitch and Facebook in the future. But anyways, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, we are Till Death Do We Play. Yeah, it's pretty simple. If you type until, we've gotten to the point where if you type Until Death Do We Play, we come up, which is very, very nice.
Hooray! Yeah. That's how SEO works.
Yeah. So, all right, episode 7 completed. Any final words, Allie? Maybe an apology or something. I don't know.
I ain't apologizing for nothing. I'm gonna get Greg on the line.
Great final words.
Greg!
Okay. Well, Allie's gone. So goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.